It is Wednesday on KTWH with snow, a new arrival on the scene. We first was November to tell us that we might want to start thinking about snow, but we really, really have snow. And I have with me Michaela Rice, naturalist up at Gooseberry Falls State Park. Michaela, you were apprehensive about snow back in October. We were just calling it the S word, but you've got snow on the ground at Gooseberry, I assume. Maybe not so much, but has the scenery changed a lot?
Yes, we haven't gotten a whole lot of snow pack. You know, it kind of melts when it hits the ground. I don't think the ground is super frozen. I think snow in October is the S word. Maybe snow in November, December. Yeah, let's snow. I'm not crabby about it anymore. It came a little soon. It was a little jarring. Wasn't quite ready to give up the sunshine, but I know it's here to stay now, so.
Yeah, and you were getting used to being in our surroundings, getting used to the bumpiness of the change of season where you can have a little bit of a snow flurry one week, and the next week we had that incredible 70-degree weather, right?
Mm-hmm. Moodiness. I'm embracing it. It's okay.
And if there is a moody month, it could be, I guess both October and November have their moodinesses. I generally think of November as having kind of a consistent gray scowl. I'm not always the biggest fan of November, but this November has been pretty special, both for some early snow and for some warm weather. So I guess we've had it all.
It's been gray. That's one thing I've noticed in the different colors of the sky and the lake, depending on what type of storm or precipitation. I think about that on my way from Duluth to north of Two Harbors every day. So
yeah,
been seeing lots of bald eagles and snow buntings. And I saw some snowshoe hare tracks yesterday. So that's been a critter that's been on my mind. I haven't seen one yet. I only see cottontails out by my apartment that my chihuahua wants to go run around and play with. But we have hares at the park and they're footprints are so large, and I was told that they are half changed right now.
That was my question. Mm-hmm. Does the snow help signal that, oh yeah, it's time to get going, you know, like those of us who forgot to put their snow tires on time?
I think they do more of that photo cue,
day length.
Mm-hmm. We'll start when they start molting, they'll start replacing their fur with white. So there are three weasel species in Minnesota that will change color, and the snowshoe hare, and that's mainly our white cryptic animals. You know, we have the foxes way in the north that change. And I've been doing some reading about it, and there's kind of some competing theories of why they do change color. So one thought would be that it's for camouflage, right?
Well, but it seems obvious mm-hmm. that snow and a white fur
okay,
escape would make sense.
So tell me about the white weasels that actually hunt like under the snow. Why would they be white if they also come out at night?
Their interior decorator told them it's important to have matching color. No.
Yeah, so the alternative hypothesis would be that white fur is hollow. The hair shafts are hollow. Polar bear hair is hollow. I've known that for a while, because if you get a polar bear that lives in a zoo pool and the pool has some algae issues, the polar bear can turn green, like the color of these lovely walls in here. So the algae will grow in the hollow hair shaft. And so the white fur of a snowshoe hare or a least weasel or an ermine can also have that. Well, it is a hollow hair shaft, so they think that it might not only just be for camouflage or not
insulation.
Camouflage, but more for insulation.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
now a whole different question would be to ask scientists to tell me why a white hair has to, H-A-I-R, has to be a hollow shafted thing. And you're saying that a black or dark brown hair would be a solid stem? Why would that be? Now let's do some benchtop research.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's no melanin, there's no pigment in that hair shaft, how it forms hollow like that. I don't know, but
well, I'd have to ask some evolutionary biologists maybe, but well, thanks for drawing it to my attention, because you are right. Insulation might be a huge reason to have that color change.
Mm-hmm. A nice warm fur, and it changes. I do know it changes from the extremities. So often in development, animals will have different color paws, ears, nose, tails, and that's because because those pigments or that part of the body develops differently at a different time considered in the fetal development. Those extremities have different kind of like properties. So anatomically, they're the first to change. So the feet, the ears, the nose, the tail. That's why you also get like dogs and cats that have really funky colors in those spots, because that's how their genes are coded for hair and color pigment. So that's kind of fun. But we have the critters that are underground or probably underground now with all the snow and the cold weather the past 2 weeks. So we won't be probably seeing any bears or chipmunks, or I think probably the skunks and raccoons are sleeping too.
And so we talked about this last time, I think. Did you speculate that the bears were primarily responding to the temperatures finally staying cold? And then, okay, no more raiding of the feeders. I better get...
I think I'm still going to wait till December to put our feeders out just to be safe.
Okay.
But I haven't heard any bear sightings recently.
So. Well, we just discovered on our property in our woodland acreage west of town here, 7 miles in some pretty heavy woods near a stream, almost a den complex, but all of the holes just look like they couldn't possibly be bear in terms of size. And I've heard that there is some denning activity that happens from coyotes and wolves, but that doesn't sound likely. So we're thinking fox. Does that...
Where was it on the...
On a hillside up above a creek, and it looks way bigger than one of your smaller rodent or the weasel
so it's not,
family.
Yeah, if it was by water, I would say maybe even an otter, but yeah, foxes, gray or red would habit, you know, a hill like that. So that's
we're
a good
working
candidate.
On the game cam solution to the riddle. But what my wife happened to see was that there seemed to be like both an escape and a main entrance and some other
satellite holes.
Just holes. Kind of, yeah. What do those holes provide? More aeration or?
I've heard of them being like false entrances and stuff, but I'm not sure. Or they're looking for other food around their den. So they kind of, you know, will build some tunnels. They don't really go anywhere, but it's more to find food.
I wondered whether they could drop food if they were caching it by throwing it down like a laundry chute down
so,
the hole.
Yeah, there has been some research to suggest that coyotes don't cache, that foxes and other canids, wolves really being the only cachers. But when I was doing my research down in the southwest, our coyotes were caching deer fawn parts. So that might... You know, they could cache. I just don't think it's as much as some other critters.
And maybe we should define what we even mean by caching for some
folks out
there.
Saving goodies for later, underground.
Well, it is a cool time of year, so the refrigeration aspect is there.
Yep. Although keeps it away from other predators.
Right. Although the earth will keep it largely from being totally frozen. If you've got some heat coming out of the earth, maybe you're keeping it in the 40-degree range.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know how long they would plan to keep something underground for. And I know caching might be more of a thing with pups around. They'll bring it underground so the pups will have something to eat. But yeah, you'll have to let me know what you find on the game cam. Or look for footprints in the snow. That's also another kind of good thing to look out for.
Right. Well, it just struck me that I've very rarely seen much bear activity once there's a good base of snow.
Sometimes you can't even see the entrance to their underground den. It could be fully snowed over. They could have a tiny little hole. Bears do nest above ground, which I find fascinating. So hopefully you will never walk up on a sleeping bear, but that could be a possibility.
You mean the only thing covering the bear might be snow?
And yeah, or just... not even, or just some leaf litter or something.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they're just, they're... literally sleeping above ground in a little nest bowl.
You're suggesting I might want to take care if I just want to kick a pile to flatten those leaves out. I might be quite surprised by the...
You might.
I'm announcing myself to.
I went on a bear den visit and I couldn't believe. I mean, they knew she was under there because she had a transmitter on, but I couldn't believe what she was sleeping under. It was just like, there's a bear under there? How would you just never would know? So yeah, it makes me think a lot more now. I'm walking around. I'm like, who's underneath me? What critters obviously know I'm here and I have no idea? I'm always thinking about that now. Who's watching me out in the woods?
Oh, wow. Yes, and I suppose that they have to be very wary because they're vulnerable.
Yeah, they're obviously more afraid of us, but their senses amaze me how smart they are. And I'm sure, I think of the funny raccoons that are sticking their heads out of the trees and stuff and laughing at me or whatever. Not the scary critters, I'm not, but yeah, it's fun to think about where all the critters are when you're walking around in the dead trees. And
we're in our every other week visit with Michaela Rice, and Michaela, with a number of the critters that are going to den up, whether true hibernators or sleepers, they're leaving the scene. And who are they leaving behind that we're going to mainly be observing now for the next few months?
Well, we know the big animals like the deer, they're doing great out. They're tromping around, making it through hunting season.
Other than the sounds of gunshot that are resonating.
Yeah, I think they're congregating where they know they're safe. I have seen a few things like that. So, I'm trying to think of fuzzy critters that are hares, do great.
Right.
Like you said, the weasels, porcupines do really good in the winter as well. They're out finding a lot of food.
And they might very well be up in a tree,
mm-hmm.
taking all the bark off of your favorite
yes,
maple
my,
tree.
Yes, my lovely park manager, she
yes.
came to me with a picture of one of our, it's not an overlook spot, but it's an open shelter. It's got like three walls and a roof and stuff. You can go in there, it's open all the time, but it's
right.
a pretty remote shelter up where a lot of our hiking and ski trails are up.
Upriver?
Yeah, and then on yep. the like inland side of 61.
Yep.
That part of the park, and she showed me a picture of some very interesting interior designing on the interior walls, and the porcupine had just kind of nibbled all of the wood off in these areas that he could reach. I mean, it was only like 3 feet off the bench and, in all directions. He was very, very consistent. But
I was
going to
ask
like,
if it
what
was any, any abstract art value to what
no,
the beaver
he
did.
Was very, he
I
was
called it
motivated.
A beaver. I'm sorry.
Porcupine. Yeah. So that's fun. Yeah, they're busy. I'm busy preparing for some programming going on in the next few weeks. I wanted to let everyone know that there is free park day at any state park the day after Thanksgiving. So if you're not really into the shopping thing, clear your mind, come to a park, come to Gooseberry or any local park, and you can get free admission. I have my craft program this Friday, the 18th at 4:30 in the visitor center. So come by. I cut up a bunch of birch bark and prepared some things to make birch bark frames or decorations, interior, outside, winter themed, Christmas if you celebrate Christmas, trying to get
yeah
ready.
Marvelous. Although mm-hmm. When I think of those of us that live where the snow has fallen, you suddenly kind of lose track of the things that you thought you knew where they were under the snow. So now birch bark is up in the air, and it's pretty darn hard to find birch bark when it's covered with snow. So
yeah.
So you'd kind of have to have cached some of your materials.
Yes,
already.
I did a lot of my kind of harvesting, prepping, drying the past few months, and got lots of feathers. All my grouse feathers are cleaned and dried. And then I put some winter walks, and they could be a walk or a snowshoe, but there's three scheduled in December, so you can go
okay.
online to the Gooseberry event calendar. You can see calendars for any park,
right,
any state park, but those will be on the Gooseberry Falls website.
And are they during the week or on the
they
weekends?
They are the Thursdays, so the first and third Thursday of the month.
Okay.
Those are my kind of day, programs. They'll start at 11. And then I have a Saturday, the second Saturday of the month in December. I have a Saturday walk as well. All ages are welcome. Leash dogs are also okay to come on
great.
Walks and snowshoes.
Can we consider that they might continue through the winter?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Just starting out with some December programs,
great.
See kind of who comes, if the time of the day is working. You can also rent snowshoes from us if you come to the program a little bit early. I'll try to get you a pair that fits, and we'll go try them out on the trails. So
excellent.
I am also trying to look for some volunteers. We are bringing back our candlelight event. So local people might be familiar with the candlelight ski, snowshoe, hike event that we have in the really early spring. So third Saturday in February, that'll be February 18th.
Okay.
And we need about 30 volunteers to help light the paths.
And is that a Saturday event?
Yep, that's a Saturday
event.
So
it'll be the first weekend right after Valentine's Day, so you can have
yeah.
a little...
Come be romantic at the
magic,
park.
Magic and romance in the park.
Yeah.
And you're the facilitator.
Yeah, I'm helping our park manager run the event.
Okay.
So I'm kind of trying to promote and get some volunteers, and I'll be doing some of the other promotion online and stuff. So that's my job with this exciting event. But
I've heard great things.
I'm excited.
People that had gone.
I've heard people love it.
Yeah.
I might try to yeah, we want to bring it back. I know the community's been waiting for it. Everyone at the park's really excited that we get to do it. So we're already talking about lumineers and candle building, and we'll need help with setting all that stuff up, maintaining the candles, watching for mini fires during the event. That's kind of what our volunteers are for. And then we'll need some people to help with takedown at the end. So if you could contact me, all my information is online, but yeah, my email address, and we'd love for you to come help.
Great. You need people to reach out to you, or are you going to be putting the word out other way? We can try to put out the word on our social media as well. So yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. I'll just say my email address real quick, Michaela.Rice@state.mn.us. So that's the best way to get a hold of me. Say, I'm looking to volunteer.
Great. I'll repeat that after our interview.
Yeah, thank you. Michaela. And you can see how my name's spelt on the listing. I know.
I think it's straightforward, but there's always somebody that needs a reminder. It looks like Michael A.
Yep.
Dot Rice.
Dot Rice. Yep. Like the rice you eat. You can't forget that.
And pretty it's at DNR dot...
At...
MN?
Oh, now I'm confused. At state.mn.us.
State.mn.us. I cannot even remember that from time to time. Thank you.
Yep.
And so you've got your arts activity, and you've got the snowshoe and walks. You're looking forward to the candlelight. Is that event primarily a ski?
It's kind of all we a lot of people do ski, but depending on conditions.
Oh,
the
sure.
Ski trails,
we can't guarantee February.
Right. So we'll prep ski trails, we'll prep a snowshoe trail, and then hiking, but you can't, hike on the ski trail. So there's usually
respect.
Like trails for all three activities.
Great. Okay. So it's like there is almost like parallel events going on depending upon how much snow cover we have.
And then we'll have treats and a fire and fun little lanterns to look at. So it's a nice nighttime event for everyone.
Great. Well, people are getting together. This is a month where we start. Some people's very favorite holiday happens just about a week from now, and Thanksgiving, and families are getting together and coming from different places and converging. What are the kind of things, the easiest things for people to observe and chat about nature together, even in residential areas? To me, it's if you feed birds, you're going to have some nice things to look at.
That's a huge winter activity. If you have a lot of your suburban deer, that are out kind of just grazing or maybe chewing their cud under a tree.
I wanted to mention to you that during the hunting season, the town of Two Harbors might be one of the great deer havens in this country. I was turning out of the lot of Judy's Cafe just last week, and I couldn't look to the east because there were the head of three deer in my field of view. I couldn't see who was coming. The deer were waiting across the street at the same time I was.
I also saw six turkeys on by the Silver Creek Company up on that hillside. So that's another winter bird to see, and the grouse
turkeys are a major insurgence in that they were here in pretty low numbers just a decade or two ago, and now they're really on their way back. Do you know any biologists that have talked about how does this coincide a little bit with our climate changing or?
Yeah, and our forest changing too. The forest post-logging is much more suitable for turkeys. It's a little bit more open.
Yeah.
They do more of that better in the mixed deciduous, and that's what our forests are looking like now. So, and they've done a huge range expansion ever since they started reintroducing them in the early 1900s. It's been one of the most successful reintroduction projects in the whole world. So
in fact, they just had to go elsewhere because they had to expand because their numbers were growing and they had to outmigrate.
Yes, and they're doing so well in southern Minnesota that they're just starting to move up, and they'll just continue to move where climate is keeping them. They don't do quite as well in the really, really harsh cold.
Right. Most of us that live in semi-residential areas probably don't routinely see turkeys parading by the window, but it's not that uncommon in some parts of the country to have them go through a residential neighborhood. Cause a little bit of a headache because they're hard to argue with.
Oh, they'll talk back to you. They like the bird feeders too, so they might start coming and hanging out. So.
Wow. Well, we've had a potpourri of subjects here, Michaela. I hope you don't mind being twisted and turned in what we're talking about, because there's a lot still going on, even as more animals have put a damper on their activity that we can see.
Mm-hmm.
There are still all kinds of things to be observed. by being observant.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, thank you, Michaela, for stopping by. We'll hope to catch up with you after the holiday and hear more about the upcoming outdoor events that are going to happen at Gooseberry Falls.
I hope everyone can get out and enjoy some of the beautiful snow, drive safe, and thanks for having me, Leo. I love being here.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Michaela, for joining us. That's Michaela Rice, who is a naturalist up at Gooseberry Falls State Park, right here on KTWH.